Blog Talk Radio.
Are marketing and sales siloed when it comes to building and filling the revenue pipeline? As a marketer, do you find it difficult to establish and drive towards common revenue objectives with your sales team? Welcome to this edition of Enterprise Marketing, The Future, the show which focuses on how the future of marketing is about performing real time, being an agile organization to make the most of evolving opportunities to impact customers and profit. I'm your host, Helene Eichler. Join us to stay up on trends and best practices from marketing thought leaders that fuel organizations' current and future marketing effectiveness. We're excited today to have Damon Waldron, Director of Demand Generation at BrightFunnel, to share his insights on why and how marketing and sales need to join forces and speak the same language to build and fill that revenue pipeline. Welcome, Damon.
Hi, good to be here.
Now, let's get
started.
Thank you
so much. Great.
Damon, what are some good approaches to benchmarking how aligned your marketing and sales teams are on creating and building the revenue pipeline?
Yeah, I think let's go through the basics first. I mean, I think marketing and sales have to work together to really establish, I think the first thing is common lead definitions and service level agreements. So from the lead definition side, that's saying, okay, what does a prospect mean? What is an inquiry? Very importantly, what is an MQL? Down through the funnel. I think the MQL one is particularly important because that is sort of the product usually that marketing is handing off to sales. So, you know, when I produce an MQL, I know that it's someone who has some level of engagement and they are the right person and they are at the right company. And then sales knows this as well, so they know that it's worth their time to take that lead and to work them. So that's sort of my SLA to sales, and then the SLA back from sales to me is that they're going to work that lead in a certain amount of time. They're going to work them thoroughly, and I know this, so that my product will actually have a good chance to become pipeline and then a deal. So I think that's really critical as far as one of the real basics. And I think it's also good that everyone is speaking the same language, that they know what an MQL is, they know what that means, so there's no confusion. And I think it's key that marketing and sales sit together and agree on that, because you can't have a disconnect between those things. So
no.
From there, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, from there, I think you have to go, again, lock marketing and sales in that room and really map out the lead lifecycle, both, I think, conceptually in a flow charty way, let's say, but also in how it's going to work with your existing tools. So, you know, can your existing tools support that? Will they, you know, as a lead goes from Marketo, from a Marketo campaign for a webinar, let's say, and then it's synced with Salesforce, an alert goes out to the SDR because the person's good enough, et cetera, you know, is that process really thought through? And, you know, the one thing I'd say is I think everyone should understand that this isn't usually a linear process. This is sort of more circular as, you know, leads come in, they become pipeline, then for whatever reason, you kick them back to nurture, and then they have to be able to come back in. So, and I think that's important because I think a lot of times we look at Salesforce as it's structured today in this more linear way, where it's a one-way street, and it's not always that way. So really think through those processes.
Well,
go ahead.
On that point, let's stay with that for a second, Damon. Then what types of resources, you know, need to be in place and tools need to be in place to effectively execute that process that you basically described?
Yeah, so assuming we're talking about a B2B marketer, I think, you know, the very basics are, you know, you have a marketing automation system like a Marketo or an Eloqua that is then synced with a CRM, so let's say Salesforce. The key is that that synchronization. So your Marketo webinar program actually corresponds to a Salesforce campaign. That's really critical. And that's going to be the one piece that's going to help you tie marketing activity to revenue. So from there, that's really just the very basics. But just to be slightly self-serving, I'd say you also need a marketing attribution platform that ties these together, because instead of just a simple path where it's just, let's say, something like lead source to tie, you know, this lead comes in from an online ad, and then you, 6 months down the road, they actually become a deal. You know, if you go by lead source or first touch, you're really going to look at just something like that online ad. You're going to say, wow, online ads are great. Meanwhile, there were 20 other marketing touches from trade shows and nurture emails and all these other things that happened, not just to that person, but also other people on that account too. So to fully understand all of those marketing activities, you really need to do multi-touch attribution to pull all that together.
On that point, what types of multi-touch attribution, if you can expand on that a bit, I mean, would you recommend which models are good? Or have you found
them? Yeah, sure. And I think there, and it doesn't even have to be just multi-touch. I think first touch attribution does have a place when I want to understand, okay, where am I just sourcing the raw volume of leads? So that's fine. That you can use first touch for that. But as you get into multi-touch, you know, we tend to look at a couple of models. We look at more of an evenly weighted model where all of those marketing successes, you'll look at all of them, and let's say you end up with a deal that's $100,000. You'll spread that $100,000 equally among all of those marketing touches against everyone at that account. Other model that we actually tend to like a bit more is what we call a 40-20-40 model. And what this means is that for people who, for that first success, that gets 40% of the credit. And then sort of the last touch, that last success before something becomes pipeline, that gets 40% of the credit. And then all of those intermediate touches, 20% gets chopped up between them. So I think that one's interesting because it sort of highlights those decisive moments before someone really engaged for the first time and before they really became pipeline or something significant. So that's the model we tend to recommend.
What are some examples of customers? Now, obviously, you're working at BrightFunnel and you've seen people use your solution. What are some examples of these customers where you've seen this really work successfully to drive a predictable pipeline?
I think one I like to call out, so there's a company called Invoca, and they do something really cool where it's call intelligence. So you're able to, it's actually in a way attribution, like understand how inbound calls, where they should map to different programs, different marketing programs. So they have this great product, but they're an interesting company because they are really data driven just culturally. So Julia Stead, who runs marketing or who runs part of the marketing team there, she was telling me, she's like, I actually have to justify every dollar I spend on marketing. And you know, that's obviously really hard. I mean, we think of the Wanamaker quote about half my marketing budget's wasted, I just don't know which half. We're past that time. So for her, she's like, okay, how do I do that? And I think she got started trying to use other tools to do this, but it was really onerous. Using a data analyst who would gather the data, spend a week, and come back with these three insights. So it became really hard. So obviously we came on the scene and we were able to help that team out, where she can actually understand that marketing impact pretty much instantly. And so she can see, okay, every dollar in, it actually influenced this much pipeline or this much revenue. So she can really build this predictable, scalable machine. So she knows that, for example, that every whatever she invests in trade shows, that leads that come from that will convert at this rate, and that the pipeline from those will hit in this amount of time. And I think most of us don't look at things to that depth, but it's exciting when a client can actually do that. So when you can come up with that predictable way of driving revenue, then sales can really understand, okay, I know that I'm going to get this much pipeline from marketing, so I trust that the machine is working, and I also trust sort of the marketing contribution to it.
That makes sense. Now, where do you think organizations miss when they strive to create this predictable revenue pipeline?
Yeah, predictable revenue, we all want it, but it is tough to achieve. I mean, I think the one thing that I mentioned before is just, looking at things like lead source, for example, and basing decisions on that. I think that's a very widespread miss that happens. And the problem is that it really affects decision making. So what happens is because, your lead sources are heavily weighted on things like online ads and paid search, things like that, or content syndication, you're going to invest more and more in that because you're like, wow, I can actually attribute all this revenue to this. Meanwhile, the things that help move things through the funnel, like really effective email nurturing programs and all the content that supports them, and obviously these very expensive trade shows, those don't really get they don't get a fair shake because the visibility into them really isn't there. For example, we sponsored MarTech last year, and we were looking back, and if you look at things from a first touch perspective, it doesn't look that good. It's like, oh, we sourced, this many new leads. Not much really came out of it from pipeline or revenue. But then when you flip to a multi-touch model, all of a sudden it was about 5x the amount of leads that we actually already knew because we'd already sort of built relationships with these people. We could meet them again, continue the conversation, talk about new things with our product. So that resulted in, a huge amount of pipeline and revenue that we could attribute directly to that show because it was one of those steps on that buyer's journey they were taking and interacting with our content. So I think that's the biggest myth that people make. I mean, we did some benchmarking with our clients, and I think we found it took about 17 and change touches, actually marketing successes, to take a lead to close. And that's not just for one person. That's multiple people on an account. Yeah, it's actually attending webinars. It's responding to email campaigns. It's meeting people at trade shows. So if you're basing the decision on just that first touch, obviously you can get really far off with that. So I think that's probably the biggest miss that you get there that I see. Obviously there are other things too. I mean I think there are things like that I was talking about at the beginning, like you haven't established common lead definitions, and sales and marketing aren't on the same page about that. Maybe the ideal customer profile is sort of in conflict. Marketing wants it to be a loose definition. Sales wants it to be this very tight definition. And so sales thinks, oh, marketing's leads are terrible. But, they have to go by that same, speak the same language and agree that this is what an ideal customer is. So I think that would be another one that I throw out there.
Well, this has been very useful information for us as we move forward in our journey to align better with sales. What would you like to leave us with today, Damien? What are the top 3 or 4 takeaways for us to remember as we, say, start to embark on a journey with marketing attribution and using these tools?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big things, get marketing and sales in a room and don't let them out until they have these basics nailed down, like the lead definitions, a process they feel great about. I was really lucky. My sort of opposite number on the sales side, Chris Povio, he joined a few weeks after I did. So we could really establish this process together without being too invested in what was done in the past. So I think that is the biggest thing. Another one that I haven't really talked about is, I think it's more on the warm and fuzzy side of things, but I think, marketing needs to spend a lot of time both meeting with sales sitting on sales calls, and probably most importantly, talking with customers. I mean, you get some really great insights from all of these that are going to flow into your marketing machine. Whether it might be tweaking messaging against one of your buyer personas, or you know, finding out a new case study would be really helpful. You get these insights from that exposure, and you're just going to be a better marketer. So I think that's really critical. I think I've talked about the attribution side of things. So yes, do multi-touch attribution. Hopefully, I've convinced people of that. But I think past that, I mean, you also want to think about things like, what kind of company are you? Like, so for figuring out what that contribution that marketing should give to the two pipeline. I think a lot of earlier stage companies might be more outbound SDR sales focused because they don't have as much inbound activity. That was definitely the case for me at my prior company at Leadspace. So I'm really lucky now that attribution is this hot topic, so I get this good inbound and good response from outbound marketing tactics. And we're getting close to about 70% marketing contribution, which is fantastic. So once you figure that out, you can use that to plan effectively. And you need to sort of have that number to do your planning. So I would say figuring out what that number is, and then use historical data to build out your plan. And I think most people do it in a simple way. They know that a lead comes in, it gets converted to pipeline in 90 days, let's say. I think you can take it a step further and actually say, okay, leads from this channel actually convert this way and give you this much pipeline maybe in half the time, or maybe it's twice the time. So break those things apart by channel, and then you can get an even more accurate way of predicting when pipeline will hit. So I think that's going to be helpful for people out there.
Almost like a lead persona, the way you just described it, you know?
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting.
It's interesting. It is. I mean, I think, and it's tough because I know we're all busy. Marketers are busy. There's a lot to do, but these things are meaningful. You can actually get a much better understanding and a much more repeatable machine, which is, I think, what we're all, you know, trying to achieve. Definitely. And I think one other thing to think about is I think account-based marketing is really interesting, and I think it's one of the big topics in the sales and marketing alignment front, and I think it's going to bring us closer because to do this right, you have to nail that ideal customer profile. You have to agree on what that target list is of companies. You have to agree, and hopefully, what the right person is and finding those people. And then maybe you're on the, you work on the same platform and you're looking at the same numbers and you're looking at the same amount of engagement, and then you're both bought in, and that wall that can exist between marketing and sales breaks down a bit because you're both obviously working to the same end to actually bring those prospects to close one.
One point that I found interesting at a recent Business Marketing Association event that I went to is using the term account. We call it account-based marketing because that's how sales refers to the customers. They don't refer to a customer as a contact, right, or a lead. They refer to them as an account. But just in the name, I've just found that very, very, very telling.
Oh, definitely. No, it's interesting. I'm starting to think of things in like marketing qualified accounts as opposed to marketing qualified leads. I think we might kind of mix that into our process as well. I want to know, okay, if there are 200 target accounts that I need to get by the end of the year or whatever it is, how am I doing against that 200? Did I chip away 7 of them this quarter? Or, do I need to get 30? So I think understanding things on that level is a lot more effective for building that partnership with sales, because that's what they care about too. I mean, you're reaching that same goal. It's not like, okay, I'm going to generate my MQL and just walk away. You know, I care how that's helping my sales rep actually crack that account. Hopefully I can get another one from that account so they can get more firepower to bring that to close.
Great. Well, thank you, Damon, for sharing your insights this afternoon. It's been a real pleasure.
Likewise.